Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled, But a New Creature, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. And they're destroying law and order in this country. And Scalia was one of those guys who fought. For example, if it was up to him, we wouldn't have abortion today. If it was up to Scalia, we wouldn't have sodomite marriage today. And when Justice Scalia died this week, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you need to understand, America lost a great man. And it's going to make a huge impact if he's replaced by someone who isn't constitutional. What they call a strict constructionist constitutional judge. He was a good man. But was he saved? And I can't tell you. Because he said some good things even about, because he was Roman Catholic. And so he made comments about how that as Christians, we should get used to the world thinking our wisdom is foolishness. That is one of his quotes. Many great quotes. But I never saw where Antonin Scalia said that he had given up all his own efforts and had repented of everything in his own attempt, in his own life, his lifestyle, his opinions, and turned to the gospel alone for salvation. And then when you see the funeral, if you didn't, you can still probably see it online. It was a Roman Catholic mess. And it was disgusting. Full of Mary worship, full of superstition, full of the false priesthood of Rome, kissing their hand and touching the casket, taking their magic wand with water, and all that nonsense. And giving the appearance that there's something holy going on here when it's an abomination, folks. And when they do a funeral mass, they claim that they're eating Jesus. And so when you talk to a Catholic, a lot of times they'll say, I received Jesus. When did you receive Jesus? Well, I received him at the mass. They're talking about eating something. Some of you need to wake up to this. If you love your Roman Catholic friends and relatives, you want to see them in heaven, you need to ask the tough questions and stop being so childish. You have to be an adult. And you have to grow up and mature to the point where you'll lovingly ask them, what do you mean when you say you received Jesus? They believe they receive Jesus when they eat the wafer and drink the wine. They're eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Find that in Scripture where the Bible says you're saved by eating Jesus. Not in there. Tell me where the Bible says you receive Jesus by going to Mass. Not in there. And so when you see, now Justice Scalia just used that as an example because it's on national television and everything. But this comes down to you, yourself, and it comes down to your loved one. And asking the tough questions. Yeah, you do. You have to explain what you even mean. Because that's why they'll say, well, Catholics don't teach that. They don't believe that. And then they're shocked a lot of times when you talk to them and you show them where Jesus said it. Back here in John 3. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I thought it was just a bunch of what you crazy Baptists believe. That's what they'll say. This is a spiritual birth. What I say there, he's wanting... It has nothing to do with the works of the flesh. And look what it says in verse 6 and 7. John chapter 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You can't do something in the flesh to get that which is in the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Not an option. Spiritual truth. Now I just give you, I've already talked about some of the examples. Flesh cannot save. Circumcision doesn't save. We already said that. And I'm not going to show you any pictures. Can you say amen to that?
Amen. Thank you so much.
Baptism, some of you look worried there for a second. Baptism does not save. If it did, these people would go to heaven just being baptized. This is in Russia. How about that? You ladies, You wouldn't make a very good Church of Christ member. But anyway, now, in one sense, you're like, wow, that's impressive. But the other thing, I'm concerned because I wonder, were they doing that because they really believed they had to be saved? You see what I'm saying? At first, when I first saw this, I thought, that is incredible. What dedication. That's wonderful. You know, that someone would be willing to do that. But then you sit and you think about, wait a minute. Maybe they were doing it because they were convinced they had to do that to go to heaven. They had, so you couldn't put it off till spring. You could die. And if you had to be baptized to be saved, and you died before spring, you'd split hell wide open. If that's true, but it's not. But they'll go to heaven. Yeah. That's what they say. People say, you know, you could get pneumonia and go and die, but yeah, but at least they'll go to heaven. That's what they'll say. Yeah. So see, that is impressive at first, but then it's sad because you're like, these people may think they have to do that to go to heaven. And if so, they're trusting in the wrong thing, and that doesn't help them at all. See how that works? It's asking the tough questions. Speaking in tongues. If you go to certain denominations, you cannot be saved unless you show the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues.
They call that filled with the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit.
Well, there's,
we don't speak in tongues.
But there's baptism of the Spirit is what they usually refer to it as, being baptized in the Spirit. But the filling of the Spirit is something that doesn't have anything to do with tongues, as you said. And the baptism of the Spirit doesn't either. We are baptized into one body. We are baptized into the body of Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with tongues. And if any of you have the... Does anybody here have the gift of interpretation? Oh, I was hoping. One of you? What'd he say? What'd he say? I want to know.
Give me some oats.
And of course, church membership doesn't save you. You can be on the list of the church members and still not be in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Free coffee. Everlasting life. Yes, membership has its privileges. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Even I don't know what a United Church is. It's probably... Oh, look, Reverend Elaine. Lush. Now this is a problem for the, you know, certain people who think that they can, you know, buy a pew or put money on the building and that's going to help them get to heaven, but that doesn't help at all. Giving money or even your time. There are people who dedicate time to feeding people at these soup kitchens. Wonderful thing to do, but you're doing it wrong if you think it's going to help you be saved. All these things they have nothing to do with being saved. And what you do, especially when it comes to baptism, you do it because you're saved, not to be saved. Speaking in tongues is only useful, according to Scripture, if you're speaking in an intelligible language to someone who doesn't know English and you're preaching the gospel to them. Church membership. We don't have like a formal thing and, you know, secret handshakes and all that. But it's good to be a part of a local church and be a part of a local church family. It has nothing to do with being saved. And you should give money and time to the ministry. God blesses you with money that you can afford to give. God blesses you with some time you can take part. You should, but because you're saved, not in order to be saved. All these are of the flesh. And you can't buy your way in. And that's what people say, it's so obvious. Oh, of course I don't believe I can give money and go to heaven. But why is that any more or less ridiculous than thinking any of these other things affect you going to heaven, including sacraments and baptisms and whatever? This new creature is inward, see? It's all about what's going on inside of you or within you. Luke 17:21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven will take place on earth. The kingdom of God takes place in you. And it's not optional.
Amen.
It's required. A new creature. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. We don't even, you and I don't know Jesus in the flesh. We know Him in the Spirit. And even you and I can see that flesh, but you and I aren't connected by the flesh. We're connected by the Spirit. Therefore, read that with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this is where it's going to come down to just you and the Lord. Something that you're going to have to answer is, are things new? Are you a new creature? I mean, in here you look like a new creature, but what about the other 6 days of the week outside when you walk out the door and go out and do your thing? Can the world tell the difference between you and the rest of the world? If you were to be arrested and accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prosecute you? How about you? Are you new, is the question. Are you new? And it's talking about not your dress or your shirt or your tie or whatever. Inward. Everybody looked at Johnny when I said tie. We've got two people with ties on today, so don't be discriminating. And the question isn't your outfit, isn't even your new, I've turned over a new leaf. I have a new perspective on life. Great. Now, are you inwardly new? The actual question to be asked is Christ in you. You see, you won't be new inside. You won't be new inward unless you have Christ inside. Otherwise, like Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're a whitewashed sepulcher, inwardly full of dead man's bones. If you're not born again. Jesus inside? Could we pass out little buttons and have it, and you could put that on and mean it? Got Jesus inside? That's what he's asking. That's the new creature. That's what it means. Jesus inside. Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, wow, this is real deep. And this is real. It should be, because most Christians don't live like Jesus is inside. Most Christians today do not live their lives with the reality that they are carrying the Spirit of God in them. That God is aware of your daily routine. God is aware of your thoughts. God is aware of your motives when even you do good things. And you have the wrong motive. But it isn't to think, oh, I got to do what's right. What you ought to have is a love relationship. And I can only speak, you know, my own situation with my wife is that she's constantly doing things, and it's not out of fear. She doesn't walk up and say, Lord Gregory, would you like another spot of tea? Yes, woman, and look down when you ask that question. Do not look me in the eye. That's the relationship that a lot of people have with God. Their God is this ogre up there just saying, don't look at me like that. And they're motivated by, oh, I hope I did that right. No, you want to fall in love with Jesus, and you find yourself doing things out of love. And some of you, it's going to take you a little while, possibly. Some of you come from that kind of background or situation, you might take you a little while. But after you have a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there will reach a point where you'll no longer be motivated out of fear. The fear of the Lord is for those in rebellion. Amen? Do you get that?
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is for those who are in rebellion. Those who are not in rebellion aren't to walk in fear, they're to walk in love. And it's something that happens inside of us. It has to come from here outward. Don't make lists and say, yes, I love you, Lord, and so I'm going to do this and that and this and that and this and that. You got to take that list and internalize it. Make it something you're doing from the inside out because you love the Lord. And you do it by His Spirit. What you'll find is, if you get in His book and you pray as often to Him as you talk to other people, and you listen to edifying things, whether it's movies that you watch, books you're reading, music you're listening to, conversations even. And if you will transform those things that you're putting in your head and your heart and make them things that are pointing you toward Christ, and you then find yourself thinking of Him in new terms, in a new way. It's a motivation of love. And then you'll find yourself doing things, and someone else will have to come up and point it out to you. Someone else will go and say, "You know, I've noticed this, and I've noticed that in your life." And you'll think, "Well, that is neat. Yeah, the Lord's really doing something there." You don't get cocky and arrogant. "Well, just follow me around a little bit. You ain't seen nothing yet." There'd be something wrong with that. But the Spirit of Jesus, is the Spirit of Jesus inside you this morning? Well, I'm a Christian. I didn't ask you that. I know everybody here, I think, claims to be a Christian. If you are a Christian, the Spirit of Jesus is inside. Read Romans 8 and 9. Read it with me. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." That is a very sobering verse right there.
Amen.
You're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Because if the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in you, you're none of His. There are these people who have been play-acting their whole lives, and when they die, they find out they were not fooling anybody. And when they stand before God on judgment, He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You notice the Bible never says that Jesus is going to look at somebody and say, "Well, I knew you for a while, but then you did that one thing and you lost your salvation." So, you ever notice that? The Bible never says Jesus says that to anybody. When Jesus tells people to depart, He says, "I never knew you." And so the question is, going back to that original question from God, will you, have you repented of whatever toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a new creature? Only you and God know that for sure.
Amen.
And that's also a motive. I want to tell you, don't go around trying to figure everybody else out. You'll get it wrong. You get it wrong. You don't know. There have been people I thought for sure were saved, but since over the years they've kind of shown me there's real problem with that profession. Then there's other people that I just never dreamed were saved. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked by some of those people being there. We don't know. But we do know ourselves. We do know, only you and God know, that one person you see when you look in the mirror. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word. Just pray, Lord, that You'll help us to have clarity on these things and be able to move forward with our lives serving You out of love. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the salvation that's been provided to us and for us by the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on that cross as our substitute, the vicarious atonement. He took our place, paid for our sins, and then being buried 3 days later, demonstrated His power and authority over sin and death. He conquered death, rose from the grave, declaring Himself to be the true God who came in human form, God manifest in the flesh, and now has commissioned us to preach that message, tell others and explain it in unmistakable terms so that people can make an informed decision, and whosoever will, You have said You will save. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I just pray, Lord, you'll use this little church family here to continue to be an effective group of Bible preaching, gospel preaching, Jesus loving, saved souls as we look forward to that day when we're in your presence, singing the glory that you alone deserve. We love you, Jesus. I pray in your precious name. Amen.
Just begun. Then we'll sing.
Then we'll sing for a thousand years. And we've just begun, just begun to sing.
Praise God. Can't wait for that to take place. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.